podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
I'm Sam Keir, host of Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. For the past 12 months, I've been talking to T20 star David Visa, getting his take from behind the scenes at the IPL, the 100 and the rest of the world's biggest leagues.
That's the Tony Review system, Diogo. There's no ways in my mind that was up.
These guys don't know how to win at this stage.
He had his driver pick him up in his Bentley.
People start chanting your name. You kind of have to pinch yourself.
Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. Listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sport Social.
Jones! Bowden! He's got it! England have won the World Cup by the barest of margins!
Stokes flashes it away through the covers for four, and England have won the match!
Hello and welcome to the Analyst Inside Cricket, this podcast in association with LV Insurance. And we're looking back at the second day of the third LV Insurance Test match at Headingley. A day of elation and sadness, I suppose you could say today, because obviously highlight was Joe Root's brilliant century, the third of the series, and he's just a run machine. But certainly tinged with sadness today because the announcement of Ted Dexter's death came overnight, early in the morning. All the players wore black armbands, all the England players wore black armbands. And, you know, in a way, I suppose England's innings, and especially Joe Root's innings, was a sort of little tribute to Ted Dexter. He would have loved to see Joe Root bat the way he did. He was he liked conventional batting, although he was an innovator. He liked the sideways on approach to batting. In fact, I've got a picture here that I can show of Ted Dexter batting one day. And you can see the orthodox nature of his stance, playing a West Indies fast bowler, side on, toes on his toes, playing the ball down, right underneath his nose. He was a cavalier batsman, but he did play, you know, in a classic way. And I knew him well, so I can certainly tell a little story about him. But I know he loved Joe Root, and so he would have been proud to have seen that innings by Joe today.
Well, Joe Root did an interview at the start of the day's play, and partly to pay tribute to Ted Dexter. And he said, I didn't spend much time with him. I wasn't actually sure whether he'd even met him. But what he did say was that Ted Dexter used to email him about his batting and pass on tips. Why didn't you do this, or why didn't you do that? That shows someone who's got a sort of real sort of love for the game, really, doesn't it? And, you know, it still wants to be involved and pass on that knowledge. I didn't know Ted Dexter at all. I remember I did interview him. I remember distinctly once when I was in Australia in the early 90s. He'd just come from India, where, you know, there was the smog. He talked about the smog in Calcutta, and the, you know, was it the stars not being aligned and that sort of thing. That terrible tour that England had in India. But anyway, he gave me what was actually a little bit of an exclusive at the time. He said, next summer in England, we're going to introduce a technology for runouts and stumpings. And I remember thought, oh, that's quite a good story, because that was quite revolutionary at the time. It, you know, we're so used to it now. And so I put that on the Today programme, and immediately, or, you know, within an hour, the ECB, or the Test and County Cricket Board, as I think it was then, knocked it down, saying, absolute rubbish, this is not going to happen. It's sort of like, oh, Ted, what have you done? Have you sort of, you know, has you gone off on a bit of a flyer here? But of course, what happened the following summer in England? Technology was introduced for runouts and stumpings, and we're so used to that now, and it's part of the game. It's been a brilliant innovation. So thanks very much, Ted, for that exclusive back in the early 90s. But I mean, you know, I remember his time as chairman of selectors, you know, in charge of the England team. But I mean, you obviously knew him much better, Simon.
Yeah, I mean, actually, it's good that you mentioned the sort of innovative side of his character, because actually, he's the founding father of short form cricket in the 60s, when the Gillette Cup had already been launched, and it was then 65 overs. He was approached by the BBC to find a way of creating a shorter format for Sundays, because in those days, Sundays wasn't a playing day for professionals. And actually, the Cavaliers, the International Cavaliers, the Rothmans International Cavaliers that Dexter played for, which was a selection of sort of world-class players, would play on Sundays, but just sort of invitation exhibition games. And so the BBC came to Dexter and said, how about creating a shorter format that will fit into Sunday afternoons for professionals, for counties, and it will be finished at 6 o'clock. And so he came up with the idea of 40 overs and shortened run-ups, which was the bane of my life when I started playing, having to shorten my run-up to 15 yards. But it also meant the game was over in just over 4 hours, with one or two other rule introductions as well. Dexter was the founding father of that. And also, famously also, he introduced Deloitte's ratings as well, player ratings, because he said he was pissed off that Boycott was always top of the averages. And he wanted to find another way of evaluating players using a different system, which is still the industry standard. So, you know, he was an innovator, never mind, a brilliant player. I knew him from the age of about 10, because we went to the same church. And actually, when I was a bit older, he had to endure my organ playing, because I was sort of a part-time organist at this church. It didn't seem to put him off coming. And he was a great assistant, you know, sort of helper, advisor to me throughout my career. Unfortunately, didn't manage to help my batting at all. But there we are. Maybe that was a lost cause. And just a wonderful person, always interested, always fascinated, as you say, sending emails to Joe Root, talking about technique, always coming into the commentary box and pointing out things about batsmen, even in his 80s, ideas about how to bowl at them and the best way of batting. And of course, going back to Joe Root, why he would really have celebrated Joe Root's innings today and his performance over this summer is because he greatly believed that batting is a sideways game. And he actually said, you bat in a bath, not a piss pot. And what he meant by that was that you go up and down and keep your footwork narrow towards the ball, rather than going round and round and having a sort of open stance, a bit more like a round vessel. He believed you should play bat as if in a bath, with the bath obviously sort of pointing down the wicket. So that's his legacy. It's one of his legacies. And what a wonderful guy. Very sad to see him go, but a wonderful ambassador for the game and a wonderful player.
Yeah, well, I never saw him bat, which, you know, I'm sad I didn't see him bat, because by all accounts, he was a tremendously aggressive and an exciting player. But the things you learn on this podcast, Yoz, that he used to listen to you playing the organ. Do you still play the organ or not? What happened to your organ career?
it really didn't last terribly long. I think I was sacked in the end for playing the wrong tune, for playing Send in the Clowns during a wedding. It was a little medley I'd devised before the bride actually entered the church, and she entered the church a bit early, so the Send in the Clowns tune was sort of playing as she walked up the aisle, and I think that was probably my last attempt.
Well, that sounds about right, Yoz.
That sounds about right. Put out the pasture after that.
Okay, let's turn to the second day of this third Test match, sponsored by LV Insurance. And I mean, England have pretty much done today what they set out to do. I would say. I mean, they're in such a dominant position in the game. I thought they did get a bit careless, which is sort of nitpick a little bit towards the end of the day's play. I think a few wickets were frittered away, and I thought at one point all this lead is going to be about 300 rather than the 350, 400, which it should have been. And if you're really ruthless, you don't give India a sniff. And it's such an outside shot for India with a massive lead, 345. But there's lots of time left in the match. Worst case scenario, we talked about it last night, is they do get 500 in their second innings, on a decent pitch, and England have a little run chase on the final day, an awkward little run chase on the final day. Anyway, that's the absolute worst case scenario, and England can help their cause, of course, in the morning by just adding another 20 or 30 runs for the last two wickets. And they've got two players there who are capable of doing that in Overton and Robinson, and we'll see how they get on. There is your who's winning graphic.
So there's the who's winning. We don't really need the who's winning graphic today, but it does tell you that England's dominance is almost irreversible. 90%, 91% chance of winning. India down at 1.3 and the draw about 4 or 5%. So it is a very unlikely scenario that India could possibly win this game. And actually, I think that no team has overcome a deficit of more than 331 and the deficit is now 345. And actually, I looked at the match, that famous match in Calcutta, which, of course, India won in 2001 against Australia when they were asked to follow on. And they were only 274 behind in that test match. Yep. And then went on to make 650 and bowl Australia out for a dramatic and, you know, kind of totally extraordinary victory. But they were only 274 behind. Obviously, history is always something to be rewritten, but no team has ever overcome more than 331. So England should be, you know, very confident of victory.
Well, they're in a position beyond their wildest dreams. And if you'd said to them after 2 days of this test match, they'll be 345 ahead with two first innings wickets in hand, and, you know, having bowled India out for next to nothing in the first innings. I mean, that you do. It's so rare that you get much better positions than that, and they'll be very confident going on to win this test match. I mean, they might even win it on the third day. I mean, you've got to remember the pressure that India are under in this test match as well, especially if the overnight pair were able to go out and whack 20 or 30 more tomorrow and just demoralise them a little bit more. So there's a little role for the lower order to play tomorrow. But even with those runs in the bag, England, you know, in a fantastic position. And you talk about history, Oz, and that Calcutta test match. Well, go back to Headingley in 1981, the miracle of Headingley. Australia's first innings lead in that match was 227, and England had 345 runs in the bank. I know this pitch is a bit better, but as the game goes on, there might be a little bit there for the bowlers and possibly for Moeen Ali as well. And there is that whole scoreboard pressure issue. I mean, India do have, I suppose, you know, a Rishabh Pant who could play the Ian Botham role, but, you know, it's a massive long shot. Actually, although I did see you talk about, you know, who's winning and the percentages, I did look on the exchanges this afternoon. At one point, India were 100-1, and the last time I looked, not long before the close, they were down to about, you know, 45-1, something like that, to win this Test match. So, I mean, you can see a path for India, but it's a path full of snakes and thorns and ups and downs and treacherous rivers to cross and, you know, a thunderstorm to get through, and, you know, and it's a long way away. But anyway, they might see some light in the very far distance, but you'd expect England's five-man attack to sort them out sometime in the next couple of days.
One of the primary objectives set by the Fund for Runs campaign was to promote and make cricket accessible to all sections of our society. LV Insurance and ECB's £1 million Fund for Runs community initiative has identified the Cheshire Cricket Board's Orford Hub as an ideal fit to kickstart cricket in the centre of Warrington. The funding will go towards an eight-week All-Stars cricket project based in one of Cheshire's most deprived wards. The board will expand this offer with the introduction of dynamos and street cricket leagues, with the aim to make the sport more accessible and attractive for wider sections of the community growing up in an urban area. A tremendous innings by Joe Root. Again, absolutely flawless, really, until a rather tired stroke at the end. I mean, his busyness at the crease was the noticeable fact today. He didn't hit that many boundaries. The Indian bowling was pretty perseverant, but just the willingness to run ones and twos and to look intentful all the time, you know, in the middle was tremendous. I enjoyed his partnership with David Milan. I thought actually Hazi Hamid got a little bit stuck and got bowled out. He faced something like 30 dot balls and then got bowled by quite a good one from Jadeja, which I think was a shame. But Milan looked, he was perfect for that situation because he was quite fluent. And it was a surprise, really, when he got out. He'd have been really disappointed about that. Little tiny inside edge down the leg side just before tea. He was a bit unlucky. And then England's innings rather petered out. But, I mean, Root was just superlative throughout. And I don't know how he does it. And we should just listen to a little clip. Remember, we had him in the Virtual Cricket Club in October last year when England were in a bit of a lull. And he was quite revealing there, saying he'd spent a bit of time working on his game and wanted some information from the team analyst about how to get better.
I think as a player, over time, and especially now with the amount of analysis and data that teams have, you have to constantly keep looking to evolve your game. If you keep playing in the same way, teams very quickly find trends and ways and patterns in which you get out. So, of course, you don't want to revamp and completely pull apart your technique and try and start again. But there are certain things that have to keep moving forward. And you know, over time, that if you get out in three or four occasions in a similar fashion, teams will be looking at that and will be bowling more balls in that area or trying to use that as a real weapon to get you out. So if you feel like there are flaws or deficiencies within your game or areas that aren't quite as up to scratch as possible, you have to find ways of dealing with that. And sometimes that does mean making minor adjustments in trigger movements or contact points, even shot selection to a degree as well, trying to play that long, almost longer version of cat and mouse, not just within the test match, but also within a calendar year or a series. And I think it's quite an interesting part. It's something that I actually really enjoy about the game, is that you can't just bat one way all the time, or you can't just look to play the same way throughout. You've got to keep looking to improve, got to keep looking to evolve your game, and not just marry up to the conditions that are in front of you, but also be very aware at how sides are going to get you out and how they will be looking to get you out.
So does that mean you actually spend a fair bit of time looking at your own game and sort of thinking, how can I just tweak it, you know, looking at other bowlers and what they might be looking to do? And therefore, it's almost like homework, is it, in a way?
It is, yeah. I mean, I sent an email to our analyst at the start of the week, and I said, I want to get, if you could please send me over the last 2 years, all my modes of dismissal. And I want to specifically know if there's any sort of pattern between 0 and 20 and also between 50 and 80 as well, if there are any trends there. So just always trying to find ways in, you know, if there are certain elements of my game that seem to be constantly worked over and I've not got the right answers for, I can go back and look at that and try and find ways of improving that for the future.
It was interesting what you say about Root's busyness today, because actually it was a quick 124 balls it took him to get to his century, which is very good, you know, even by modern standards. That's a quick 100, but he only hit 12 fours. You think of something like it'd be 18 fours and 2 sixes or something like that, but that just shows how busy he was. And I noticed first ball off the mark straight away. There was a real positive intent from Joe Root today. 23 test hundreds now, 600s this year, 500 plus runs in the series, 300s in the series. You know, it's a bit like Steve Smith in an Ashes series. He's just rolling them up. He was a bit tired though, wasn't he, at the end? And there were a few out there who were tired today. We saw Ishant struggling and Siraj struggling on what was not a particularly warm day in Leeds. But anyway, you know, fantastic from Root, and he just sort of battened down England's strong position. Just to pick up something about David Milan. I mean, we talked about this last night, didn't we, about that nervous energy. I mean, he had to wait 50 overs watching on to come into bat. You know, that's a lot of overs for an England number three. Not many have had to do that in the last few years. And actually, just one more stat. It's only the second time in 8 years that all of England's top four have reached 30 plus, let alone 50 plus. They all went over 50. But the last time second time 8 years that they've all got 30 or more. Anyway, but Milan had to wait, and he looked really good, didn't he? It was a really good innings, and you could tell he nicked it as well. The camera focused on his face, and he said to Gerard, they've reviewed it. You know, I think I've hit that. And so as soon as I saw that, I just sort of sensed that there's some doubt there. I realised that he was going to be caught behind. Anyway, caught down the leg side, it feels like a bit of a strangle. But a very good day, a very good return for David Milan. The only disappointment for him, I suppose, is he didn't go on to make 100.
But it's much nicer coming in at 140 for one than 5 for one. And I wonder what Zach Crawley was thinking, seeing Milan waiting 50 overs to come in when he's been coming in about the fifth over. Most of the time over the last year or so. So well done to England for building that platform and for pretty much capitalising on it.
And that's a good point about Crawley. But interesting. One thing we were talking about before this series was the prospect of India sort of dismantling England's Ashes plans. And they've sort of done that in a way, haven't they? They've got rid of Sibley and they've got rid of Crawley. And, you know, they were sort of not inked in for the Ashes, but they were very sort of heavily penciled in for the Ashes. And India have dismantled that top order. But, it, you know, who knows? It might have actually done England a favour. You know, Milan back in the side, very good tour of Australia last time. And Hamid, you know, I think, you know, the jury's still out a little bit on Hamid, but we'll see. I mean, very good first innings. He does look solid, and he does have those scoring shots through the offside. Whereas Sibley is, you know, is sort of rock like, doesn't move, and the scoreboard doesn't move as a result. And we'll see how that works out. But you know, it's going to be difficult for Hamid at the top of the order in Australia against that Kookaburra ball with that high class Australian attack. But they have dismantled it. But who knows? It might just work in England's favour, or at least help them a little bit in Australia in the winter to have that top order rejigged.
A word on India's bowlers. I sort of identify with them a bit, charging in, trundling in, sort of almost stumbling in towards the end of the day. The forlornness of knowing when Root and Milan were building their partnership of how the hell do you get a wicket? And of course, one did come in the end, luckily down the leg side. But I thought particularly Mohammad Shami kept going really well. And it's a tough job because you know there's no support in the ground, there's nothing in the pitch, the ball's old, batsmen look totally secure and almost sort of invincible, and you it's very hard to actually believe. Can I take a wicket here? But Shami kept going and he picked up three wickets. And I noticed even towards the end of the day, I think in his last over, he bowled an 85 mile an hour delivery. That's a tremendous effort. So I award him the LV Insurance In With Heart Award today. I mean, he just kept going. He kept plundering in. He kept zibbing it down on a length, on a line, giving the batsman absolutely nothing and constantly believing and just trimmed England's ambitions a little bit in the end.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. He really is a trier, and you know, ran in for his captain today, and Bumrah as well. Bumrah was tidy and threatening at times. I mean, he was the one that just started to unpick Hamid. I thought, you know, they bowled short at him, they dried him up, and you know, eventually, you know, they got through him. And so, you know, that was, you know, really good bowling at the start of the day by India. Only 21 runs in the first hour. It was a really hard, you know, really gritty, hard-fought first hour. And then gradually England got away 300 runs in the day. You know, Bumrah good, but without the breakthroughs that perhaps his captain would have liked. I agree on Shami. And Ishan, awful day for him, really. I mean, he looked, I mean, was he 32? But he looked 40-plus at times today. 22 overs, 0 for 92. And Jadeja steady. And, you know, there was some turn. But and you think there might be a little bit more turn as the game goes on, and that might bring Moeen Ali possibly into the match, and even, you know, who knows, even Root and even Milan with his leg breaks. But I mean, but you know, Root and Moeen, you know, definitely in that second innings. If India build a, you know, a biggish score, England can perhaps just stymie them that way as well as with that four-man pace attack. So how do you see the game, Yoz? You know, I've given my view on how I see it. Three days to go. The weather forecast looks pretty decent. England win in 3 days, or is that too? Is that being too bullish for England's prospects?
I think the pitch is pretty good still, and obviously India will get stuck in the second inning. So I don't think it will finish tomorrow. I think England will bowl India out for round about 350. They might just have to chase a handful of runs and India will get stuck in and they might just but take it into the fourth day. I think England will find some. I mean, it'd be perfect time to bowl tomorrow morning. Always in the morning, it does a little bit more. I can see a couple of early wickets falling. And then some people, you know, Kohli, very much due, Rahane and Pujara also. So somebody's going to get really stuck in. And I think, you know, India should be able to get past 300, but it's just a question of how much past. So England might have to just do a little bit of batting on the fourth day is my hunch. What about you?
Yeah, well, I think it could end tomorrow. I think scoreboard pressure could force a win for England tomorrow. The other side of it, is it India at the close of play, 260 for two, something like that, digging in? And then, you know, then you start to think, is Headingley 81 sort of coming into view? You know, Tarang had an amazing victory at Headingley in 2014, and then as Calcutta, we mentioned at the start of this podcast, in 2001. But also, all cricketing logic suggests that sometime in the next 3 days, whether it is tomorrow, fourth day or fifth day, sometime in the next 3 days, England will level this series. And if they don't, we are in for something sensational. I think that's fair to say. But you'd expect it to be 1-1 sometime this weekend.
OK, so that rounds up our look back at the second day of this LV Insurance third test match. England dominant, of course, and we'll be back tomorrow to review the third day's play. Meanwhile, we should all say, rest in peace, Ted Dexter. Sports Social Podcast Network.